Good morning. Ken has asked me to read 1 John, the first chapter, and verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is the light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. In chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we who have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
God's protection is there for us at times, and then at other times, protection isn't always there, and then we may wonder why. This morning's message has to do a little bit with those whys. Why is this chapter even in the Bible? A commentator on it says, it's about as needful as the fifth leg on a cow. Now think about that a little bit. That's not a fifth leg on a cow. Would that be too important? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 20. We follow Abraham, the man of faith. We've been following him. You know, at this point in time, God has appeared to him six times. Six times. And he gave all the promises to him concerning his future, his descendants, how that through him all mankind would be blessed. And still, Abraham is very human concerning his wife. And this is a good story in light of today's Sunday school lesson. Abraham, we are now at that point in time where we're following his discussion with God on how many righteous were in Sodom. And there were not 10 there. We covered that. And so Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And that was in chapter 19. Now I want to read this chapter. There's a few things to point out here. The thing I want to point out most of all, and we'll get to that later in the message, is every sin is a sin. Are there little sins, big sins, middle-sized sins? To God, they're all sin. When you think of the family of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants, what was one big thing that was in their family that was not right? Anyone? Lying. Abraham gave half a lie. His son Isaac gave a whole lie concerning his wife. And when we get down to Jacob, it's just deceit after deceit after deceit. Fathers pass not only good things, but bad things onto their children. Now let's follow this story. Abraham's on the move again. He spent quite a number of years in the area of Hebron and Beersheba, which is the southern part of Israel. Now he's moving toward the southwest down into the Negev. I don't know if back then it was more lush than it is today, but the only lushness that comes in that area today is through irrigation, having been there and seen it for myself. You see these spots that are green and then other spots that are brown, and you wonder, well, why is it brown there where all around is green? And so we were told that where it is green, the Israelis are irrigating, and where it's brown, the Palestinians are not allowed to water to irrigate their section. So, you know, that's typical of what goes on over there. So beginning at verse 1, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. Excuse me. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is the prophet. And this is the first time you read in Scripture the word prophet. For he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you, that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view? Or we might say, what did you have in mind that you have done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." Then to Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody." Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they could bear children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. To me, this is an interesting story. Because of God's protection over the man that he had chosen to be the one through whom the Redeemer would eventually come. And so he protected him. Now the interesting thing about this story is that sometimes things are not as they seem. Abraham thought, well, in the area where I am now, there probably is no fear of God in this place. And so he was afraid they would take his wife, which they did. And the interesting thing is, she is now 90 years old and still must have been very beautiful. That's kind of hard for us to comprehend, that a lady that old could still be that beautiful. And so to understand the culture in that day, kings would have a harem of everyone that they could find that was beautiful. And I don't know all about that, and we won't get into that. But we do know the connection between Abraham and Sarah and all that God had promised them. And it seems to me that Abraham had to get this lying thing out of his life before God would bless him, as he promised he and Sarah with a child. The thing that is kind of mind-boggling, and we could go back to where it happened in chapter 12 when he went to Egypt, the same thing happened. And he got very rich because of that. And here again, he gets sheep, oxen, and male and female servants, and also 1,000 pieces of silver in connection with his lying. And we wonder, how could that be? And so God is the one who orchestrates this whole story and took care of this man, this king, and his people. We will find this man Abimelech again in dealing with Isaac. And commentators aren't sure if Abimelech was a name that was bestowed on all the kings of the Philistines. We don't read about it later on in the Philistines, but the Philistines were a people who lived in the southwestern part of Israel. I mean, we read quite a bit about them in 1 and 2 Samuel. But this is the first that they appear in Scripture, and it's in connection with Abraham and Sarah and all that they had moving into this general area. And so God tells Abimelech that this man is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will not die. And so you can see that he was quite upset about all that transpired here because of what Abraham had done. And so they were restored. And all the women were restored so that they could again bear children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech. So, what I want to dwell on this morning is what constitutes one sin over another? And where does faith come in all this? Now, you would think that that Abraham being the father of the faithful, why did he worry about his wife so much? Now, I picked up this, I don't know if Nevin, if you saw this or not, but I saw it on the signboard yesterday at the lower end of Hilldale Road on the sign concerning Bethsaida United Methodist Church. I think it's United Methodist Church. And this is what it said. Worry ends where faith begins. Now, you think that through. Worry ends where faith begins. So Abraham still had to grow with his faith. Also, I want to share a story I heard this week. When you talk about faith, I don't know how many of you heard a story this week on Focus on the Family of a mother was sharing. Her husband was not there, but she was talking about her husband through this ordeal as well. But sometime after they were married, they decided they would try to bring a child into the world. And so somewhere along in her pregnancy, the doctor called her and her husband to come in this particular day. And he said that he had bad news to tell them. That their child is not developing a skull or a brain. And so he said, I'm very sorry to have to tell you this. You don't have to make any decisions today, but you can carry the child or you can have it aborted. And she said, we looked at each other and we said, we will have the child. So this child was born and within a couple hours died. Sometime later, she got pregnant again, and at about the same time in her pregnancy, again, the doctor called them in and he said, the same thing has happened with this child. No skull, no brain. And she went on to talk about how they dealt with that. She said, Job became one of my favorite companions as I read through his story. I wasn't really angry at God, but she said, I thought, why, Lord? Why can't we have a healthy child? So after a time of grieving, they were told of a little boy that when he would be born would be up for adoption. So they adopted this little boy. Now they have a child. Several years later, she said, my husband and I decided that we want to try one more time for a child of our own. And what do you think people started when their friends found out about this, what do you think they were bombarded with? How do people think about things like that? Well, she said, we were told we were crazy. You can't possibly think that everything will go well. But she said, I told my husband, yeah, I'll try not to worry about it, but I will be very concerned. But she said, really? I have faith that everything will be okay. And so he said, okay, I'll go along with it. And so they tried again, and she became pregnant. And it just bless my heart to hear her say that the Lord gave us a beautiful little girl that we welcome into our home. And she said, somehow all the sorrow and grief from before, not that we don't think about our two little ones, but it was such a refreshing thing to know that God understood and blessed him with one healthy, normal child. Worry ends where faith begins. That was just a great story for me on faith. And I guess I told Joanne, the reason stories like that just really affect me is because, and I'm sure that little girl will grow up and someday wonder, why was I allowed to live? Because out of 6 pregnancies, I was the only one from my mother to grow to adulthood. And I often think, why me? Why was I allowed to be here? And believe you me, I love life to the fullest. All of you that knew me would probably agree to that. And so understand God's direction in our lives is just it's just something that we need to grab a hold of in spite of our sin. You know, all of us are sinners. And I want to go back there to the portion that I had that I had Ray read this morning. It's such a simple understanding for us of how our sins can be forgiven. The Apostle John talks about how things were from the beginning of when Jesus came on the scene, the one that God sent to be our Redeemer. And he said, we were with him every day. We saw him declaring to us the Father. And he said, we just realized that he was God's son. And he said, I'm writing all this that your joy may be full. When we think about having to deal with the sin problem the way they had to in the Old Testament, time after time after time, the slaying of animals to cover one's sin. And this is one of the greatest things, and I hope we never forget how fortunate we are today that our sins can be forgiven and we can have fellowship one with another and also with God because of what he did for us there on the cross of Calvary. Now there is a word that's in the New King James, and Ray didn't read that word, but what he read explained it. This word propitiation. I think a lot of times a word like that we would stumble over and wonder, what does it really mean? What it really means is that God, and as God showed us this morning, he, in that portion I read from Genesis, he's concerned about sin and how it affects people. And it affects God deeply. And so what John is saying here, that the righteous wrath of God against sin needs to be appeased. In the Old Testament, it was all the shedding of blood of animals to satisfy him. until Christ came. And Christ's righteous blood shed there on the cross of Calvary satisfied the wrath of God concerning sin. Little sins, big sins. He talks here about if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And that thing of not telling the truth, whether it's a half a truth, a whole truth, or a whole lie, or whatever, it's sinful. But Jesus is always faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, I think sometimes when we come to communion time, we concentrate on that scripture from 1 Corinthians, which tells us that we need to examine ourselves to see where we are in our relationship with him before we share of the cup and the bread. Brothers and sisters, I think every day and every week, when we come to the end of the week, we need to say, Lord, where did I go wrong this week? We need to examine ourselves so that as we come to worship, like we have this morning, we can come with clear consciences, free of whatever we may have said or done this week that was not pleasing to him, that was really sin. And we can come to him and we can have everything forgiven and covered by his blood. Abraham had to learn that. He had to learn it by looking ahead in faith to that one who would come from his descendants. And today, we have this written in the word, and it seems so simple. And we're called little children here by John. We sin. All of us do. Probably every day. At least I know I do. By things maybe said or done that weren't pleasing to him. But we have an advocate, and that word means that we have one who tells the Father, I have died for her, I have died for him. Accept him as my blood has covered his or their sins. What a great thing that is to know that we're a family of God because of our faith and our love for Christ. And I want to close by sharing a few things here. I saw them this morning as Bill was reading from Ephesians. The blessing and responsibilities of believers. I don't have time to go into all this, but all the blessings we enjoy as Christians because of what Jesus done for us. We're chosen by God. We're adopted into God's family. We're accepted before God. We have forgiveness of sins. We have insight into God's will. We have an internal inheritance. We have the seal of the Spirit in our lives. We have God's mercy and love, wisdom and knowledge, divine power, spiritual life, the promise of eternal kindness, the knowledge that God's plan for us is good, unity and peace with all believers, heavenly citizenship, access to God through Christ. That's blessings we enjoy. Now our responsibilities as believers is to keep the unity of the Spirit, to use our abilities for the church's benefit, to keep growing and maturing, to put away old sinful ways, to speak honestly and purely, to do what the Spirit leads us to do, to imitate God, to walk in love, to find out what is acceptable to the Lord, to make the most of our time, to be filled with the Spirit, to submit to one another, to have marriages that honor God, to honor God in our families, and to demonstrate integrity in the workplace and to stand strong against the forces of evil. That's quite a list of responsibilities, too, that comes behind all the blessings that we have through Christ. And so as we live in this world of evil and sin and worry, you name it, we experience it sometime during our life. But worry ends where faith begins. That's something that will stick in my mind for quite some time, and hope that it does in yours as well. The thing I want us to get this morning from this message is that whether we think it's this little sin or whether it's a big sin, all sin is sin and needs to be put under the blood of Christ. And how thankful we are we have an advocate, one who goes to our Heavenly Father and pleads our case day in and day out. What a blessing that is. And so may the blessing of the Lord be upon you this week as you go and continue to be the people that God would have you be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Even Abraham of old made his mistakes and sinned, and it caused conflict. And yet you were there to enter into the situation. And you entered into our situation, Father, through Christ. And what a blessing it is to be part of your family. A family that includes people from all over the world who have put their faith and trust in you. And as we see above us here, all people from nations, kindreds, and tribes will someday bow down before you, and we look so forward to that time. So keep us faithful. Keep us faithful believers each and every day until you call us home. We give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go, and God be with you.